Blog Talk Radio.
The great city playboys, they're always around to help build your hope up, then help drag you down. They'll leave you with nothing worth singing about.
Good evening, everybody. It is Wednesday, July 13th, 2016 AD, and you're checking in with your smoking nephew, Blazing Rye, and this is Blazing Rye, Space Backstage. And now I would like to welcome to the program the Richter to my O'Brien, the Sade to my battering wall, Mr. Jonathan Weeks. Mr. Jonathan Weeks, how are you, man?
Good, man. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right, man. No, I was down like, and I approached Baby like, Mom, what's your age and type? She looked at me and I said, you a baby, right? I told her I'm 18 and live a crazy life, but I tell you what the 80s like. And I know what the ladies like. Need a man that's polite, listens, and takes advice. Woo! I could be all three. Plus, I could lay the pipe. Come with me. Come stay the night. She looked at me laughing like, boy, your game is tight. I'm laughing back like, show you right. Get in the car and don't touch nothing. Sit in the car. Let's discuss something. Either we loving or I'll see you tomorrow. Now we speeding up the west side. Hand creeping up the left side. I'm ready to do it. Ready to bone. Ready for dome. 55th exit. Damn. Already we home. Now let's get it on. Hey, Ma. What's up? Let's slide. All right. And we going to get it on tonight.
Damn. Woo.
I was craving some old school Cameron. So what's going on with you, man? What you doing? What's the deal? What's going on, man?
You know that's funny because I was listening to the Breakfast Club, just 2 or 3 days ago I was listening to some old interviews. I was listening to Cameron's interview. I was listening to Jim Jones' interview just 2 days ago.
Listen.
That's weird.
Jim Jones. What did you think about Jim Jones when you listened to his? What did you think about him? Did he seem like a decent human being to you?
During the interview? He seemed pretty. I was surprised. He was super mellowed out. I know he's much older now. Mellowed out. He seemed pretty honest, and he was pretty funny. He was just calling out a lot of people, and he seemed like a real businessman, actually. Much like Cameron. It's sad that they had such a big falling out.
Did they? What happened?
Apparently, they just have beef, and they don't talk to each other anymore, even when there's. Diplomat anniversaries or group anniversaries, and but they got some serious beef where Cameron really just ignores him, and they used to almost like brothers, and they just don't talk anymore, I guess. Cameron's doing his own thing, pretty much. I think it's money.
Well,
it's mostly money stuff.
The reason I ask about Jim Jones is because we had a guy on the show. JoJo Capone several times.
Ooh.
And one of the first times, or the first time he was on the show, he was saying that Jim Jones had some 18-year-old security guard beaten up for no reason, just to prove his like power in the situation or something. But then later when we had JoJo Capone on the show, I asked him if he still had beef with Jim Jones. He's like, no, man, there's no beef here. He's doing his thing. So I really don't know. I don't know the details or anything, but apparently Jim Jones has done some shady shit. And Cameron, of course, is known for his very nonsensical lyrics. Was he making sense in that interview?
Oh, yeah. I believe that because I believe in a security guard incident, may possibly. He said himself during an interview he was a crazy guy when he was younger, and he was more of like an enforcer, so he was like a bully. That's what he even admitted to it, and wasn't even like a rapper. He was primarily like Cameron's like physical side. So when they had beef, he would be the guy who beat people up or order people to do things. And Cameron definitely has nonsensical lyrics. I don't know if you ever listened to that interview where I forget who he's talking to, but 50 Cent's on the interview, and Cameron calls in. And it's the funniest interview I've ever listened to because Cameron gets really seriously angry with 50 Cent. They're talking about financials.
Why?
And,
what did he say?
And towards the end of the interview, you just hear him like, I think it's Angie Martinez. She's like, Cameron, we have to hang up the phone if you start swearing. And she's like, and 50 Cent's trying to talk over him. And Cameron's calling him out. He's like, Curtis, Curtis, you know what I'm talking about, Curtis. And it ends with Cameron going, Curtis! And then they hang up. And I think 50 Cent is just like shocked at how quickly it got out of hand. And even he was shocked that Cameron called him out so big time. It's a hilarious interview.
That sounds terrible. I'll have to check it out. What do you got going on this weekend? Anything?
This weekend, what am I doing? So I'm supposed to see my buddy. Rich is coming from down from New Jersey. We're just going to hang out Saturday. Just been planning stages for a long time, and finally it's going to happen. It seems like I'm too old and too boring to actually do things nowadays. So this will be good. I think it'll be good to see him. But the funny thing is, I will say, I hate to keep harping on that, but it's something that falls in line with what we were talking about many different things in terms of that interview. That interview with 50 Cent and Cameron and with Jim Jones, what he said was pretty pertinent to what we talk about. He said that rap and hip-hop today and nowadays is so boring because there's no beef, because nobody wants to be better than the other one, because all rappers make up at some point, and they never have serious beef, and it's never like a competition. So everybody wants to be on par with each other, which is very similar to, of course, with the rap today and hip-hop today, and that's why it's kind of boring and stale to me. And also with late-night shows. So I think, nobody's one-upping each other. There's no beef. There's no competition. It's awfully boring. They're all on par with each other. And because of that, there's very little to talk about, and there's very little, excitement in terms of rap and entertainment and tonight's shows. But I just found that point was very, very pertinent to what we talk about sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. It's all the late night hosts seem to get along with each other. The biggest feud in late night now is Jimmy Kimmel and Jay Leno, and Jay Leno's not even on the air anymore. But that's the biggest one. But other than that, the Jimmys like each other. Stephen Colbert likes the Jimmys. The Jimmys do Colbert. Colbert does the Jimmys. And I'm not talking about that porn scene I jacked off to this morning. But it is boring. I also noticed when I posted on Friday on the Facebook, I said, watching The Late Show with Stephen Colbert makes me long for the days of watching The Late Show with David Letterman. I noticed that was liked by a few Republicans, and I thought that was a little strange. It was Dave towards the end was clearly not on the right. So, and then it just seemed odd because, I don't know, so is Colbert that detested amongst conservatives?
You know what? I'll be honest with you. I think, in my opinion, I prefer Dave Letterman over Colbert because I feel like Colbert is even more insulting to Republicans. I think at least Letterman was upfront and real. He called you out on your stuff. you know, and you knew what you were getting with him. You know, I think he was honest. Colbert is satire to a degree where, you know, he's insulting to your face. It's just that he doesn't do it to your face. He doesn't, you know, like Letterman would. And I think it's even worse. It's even more painful to watch as a conservative or Republican, because he's making fun of you. You know, he's calling you an idiot, but it's like a skit to him. You know, it's like a persona. And I think that's actually more annoying and over time more offensive than I think Letterman, because you knew what you were getting with Letterman, and sometimes it was very funny to conservatives. You could laugh at it, but when you got Colbert, you can't really laugh at it because it's like terrible, and it's constant, and it's like that's who he is. That's exactly who he is. You know,
it sounds like you're describing his old show, The Colbert Report, where he is playing a character that is insulting people to their faces, but
right.
The new show, he's just himself, though.
Yeah, that's true. I always feel like Colbert. I haven't watched the show much.
Haven't watched it at all. I don't think you watched it in one episode.
No, I watched the episode with Trump on it. I watched, you're probably right because I really typecast him from the very beginning, from the show. And I thought he was going to be a failure from the very beginning as well, because I just think he's just a persona. He's not really, a genuine host, because I think you have to be a genuine person to make a good host. And I think, you can make that case for Letterman. You can make that case for Leno. That's who Leno is. If you don't like him, you don't like him, but at least, that's his personality. Colbert just doesn't work for me. But I haven't seen too much of him, as you said. But I think he's always in that persona. He's always, like, in this super, super satirical persona. And it's just fake. It's just so fake to me. It's like, I'll be a reporter today. Or I'll be a funny conservative today. And I'll make fun of conservatives in a way, you know?
Yeah. So I think that you're saying that his persona from the old show has transcended into his actual real personality on the new show.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Interesting.
I'm not sure if that's exactly the case, but I would choose Conan over all of them now, and then I would choose Fallon next, even though he's admittedly almost impossible to take sometimes.
I would choose someone who's impossible and unbearable. But I watched. It's interesting you bring up Conan because I did a week-long trial of PlayStation View, and then I canceled it before it. But it was actually really nice to watch Conan live again. Conan while he's on the air, so.
Right.
I turned on TBS at, 11:30 or something, and they were interviewing Larry King, and this was last week, and Conan's like, how do you do it? How do you stay young? And Larry King goes, well, I'll tell you the secret. It's all about staying busy. I do Larry King Now twice a week. I do Politicking twice a week. I do a podcast. with Larry King, Larry and Shauna King, I do that once a week. I have sheets and pillowcases. Who knew? And then as soon as he says that, Conan goes, I have sheets and pillowcases, Larry. And then Larry King's like, but it's a company that I, that does. And Conan's like, oh, right, you have a lot, your line of sheets and pillowcases. And then Conan starts cracking up, and he's like, I thought you were just bragging about having sheets and pillowcases. And then Andy chimes in and goes, I have plates, forks, knives, bowls. And it was so funny. So, yes, Conan above all. We finally agree on the current late night host. But it was so funny. I'll send it to you. I'll send you the clip. It's so funny.
I love to see that. Yeah, that's all I do. On YouTube, I watch old Conan clips. with him like playing video games or him making fun of Jordan Schlansky, and I think he's like generally the funniest late night comedian, or at least his comedy is more in line with what I like.
Yeah, well, that TBS show started off really strong, and then it got horrible. Like that time when we talked about how, like, I remember they were doing the show live from Dallas, I think, and it was just god awful. And then, and now though, I think he's back, man. I think he's on his game again.
Yeah, I've never watched Myers. I've never watched Corden. I can't really bring myself to watch Colbert. And I don't like, you know, I don't like Kimmel too much. I really have to say I never liked Kimmel. I think he's got some great skits, I just don't like Kimmel. I don't know why.
The best thing was when the best thing I ever saw Kimmel do was when he had, as a practical joke, he had a bunch of guys paint his Aunt Chippy's house orange, and she gets home, and she's like, "What the hell are you doing?" And they're like, "Oh, we're painting the house, Miss," and she's like, "What? I didn't ask for this." And so then, like, Jimmy Kimmel's on the walkie-talkie, and after she tells him to stop painting the house, and they do, Kimmel goes, "Tell him to start painting the tree." And so then he starts painting this tree orange, and it was so funny. And that is, of course, all derived from the great David Letterman. Kimmel just, you know, idolized Dave. He even had a license plate when he was a teenager that said, like, late night or something back when Letterman was on NBC. So the best thing I ever saw Kimmel do was something that, you know, Letterman used to do all the time, which was just the funniest. And it was commendable of Kimmel because he was quick, and, you know, it was great when he said paint the tree. And then also I have respect for Kimmel because he has such an obsession with Letterman, much like me. So that's
right.
Why I like Kimmel, but I wouldn't like actively pursue the show. Usually if I watch Kimmel, it's when Panic at the Disco is on. And he's had that on a couple times.
Yeah, your boy.
Yeah, yeah. My new best friend and future husband, Brendan Urich. And but the last time he had Panic on, they did a thing called Panic at the Cisco, where Panic and Cisco performed the Thong Song together, and it was pretty wonderful.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was great. It's like Monday mashups or something they do. But that's not why you called in. So we got to address a couple things. I noticed on Facebook before the show that a couple that not only is your hometown of Hamden, Connecticut, trending on Facebook, but my hometown of New Haven, Connecticut, is trending on Facebook. So I just want to... First, I'll point out New Haven, and it says, this is an article from WFSB, it says, New Haven officers attend Kingian training, and this is, of course, in the wake of more police shootings of African-American men. New Haven is actually taking steps to kind of address it, and they're, what does it say? With protests still rising, they're training to learn how to cope with situations using some of the teachings of Martin Luther King. So I think that's a great thing, and props to New Haven for that. You know what I mean? Elm City's truest. We rep it to the fullest. We take no bullshit from the puppets that spew it. We bounce from the traitors, pounce from the haters. But if you show us love, we'll bounce with you later.
Yeah.
That's what R. Heezy, same with Jay Weezy. Can't leave rap alone, leave me. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Anyway, props to the Elm City for that, and that's the good news.
Woo!
Here is what's going on in Hamden. Here we go.
Uh-oh. That cannot be good. That cannot be good. Here's the good news. Now let's see what's going on in Hamden.
and this is from Connecticut State Police. Here we go. On July 13th, 2016, detectives from the Connecticut State Police Computer Crimes Unit, with the assistance of the FBI, Homeland Security, and Hampden Police Department, served a search and seizure warrant at, says the guy's address. The search warrant was part of an ongoing investigation into the possession of child pornography. State police detectives initiated the investigation in June of 2016 after video files of suspected child porn were downloaded from the internet account assigned to Justin Goldstein, the weatherman from WTNH. Computers and computer-related equipment were seized from Goldstein's residence during the search. The seized items were examined on scene. The file of suspected child pornographies were located. Goldstein was later located at his place of employment, that's WTNH, Channel 8, and taken into custody. Goldstein was transported to Troop I Bethany, where he was fingerprinted, photographed, and was released after posting bonds pending his court date. Here's the worst part. Worst part is the child porn, but it says Justin Goldstein, date of birth 9/17/82. That is literally one day before my birthday. 9/17/82. Then it says his address. Then it says charges, illegal possession of child pornography, promoting a minor in obscene performance. Then it says court, Meriden Superior Court. There you go, John. July 26, 2016. And then the bond is set at $200,000, which I guess he seemed to have posted. This is the weather guy. This is the weather guy on Channel 8. What do you think about all that?
Oh, the weather, man. I don't know if I'm going to be watching the weather anymore or the news. I mean, this is terrible.
Any weather?
This is not only bad for...
You're not going to watch Al Roker even?
That's it. I'm done. This puts a real stain on the weather profession, meteorologists around the world. I mean, this is terrible. How can this happen? He's a young guy. He's around our age. Arrested, big time arrested. Bond was set at a huge amount. This guy must have had loads of child porn. I mean, this is just terrible. I mean, I can't believe it. It's a huge setback for the town of Hampden, the profession of meteorology, and the study of meteorology. And this is just, how could this guy do this? It's that much of an embarrassing, though. The police arrested you at your place of work? Oh, my
goodness. It happened while he was like on the air in front of the green screen and just said, tonight temperatures will be in the low 80s to mid 90s, and Mr. Goldstein, we have a warrant for your arrest. And, like, how do you finish the weather report from there? What do you – and then I'm going to throw it back over to – Anne and Keith, you know, I mean, what do you do from there? What would you do if you were busted
weather? Even if the police are on set and they have this warrant for the arrest, they got to finish the weather for the day, or at least the week.
Yeah, show must go on.
You got to finish the weather. Tell me the rest of the weather, because, you know, I'm still listening. I want to know what's happening for the rest of the week. I want to know if I can go golfing tomorrow. You know, at least fulfill your duty for the rest of the week. You know, that's what I would have done. Just finish your job, and then you could go to jail. That's terrible. I mean,
finish your job, and then you could go to jail. Why are you golfing on a Thursday? Why are you golfing on a Thursday?
I don't. You're right. I don't. I'm just talking for the 5.22% of people who do. But. Yeah, I would have finished the weather, and then I would have went happily to jail, but we're not so happily to jail. I guess he doesn't have to worry about the weather anymore if he's in jail.
Yeah, that's true. I guess not. I guess they keep you pretty confined in there. I mean, this, you know, obviously this is not very funny, but it's kind of funny. So,
I hope he does all right. I hope, you know, he's innocent until he's proven guilty, and we'll see what happens with this young lad. I hope he gets his life back together. And with Connecticut, it's, you know, well, New Haven's doing well, but Hampden not doing so well. Not well at all.
How did you know it would be bad when I said Hampden was trending?
I know. Hampton has not been getting very good press lately, you know. We have a lot of violence in Hampton, a lot of drug use. A lot of these, like, bad things have been popping up around him. I don't know what it is. I think it's maybe taking the wrong direction, but I don't know what it is. It's just a bad luck for Hampton lately.
Yeah.
not good.
How quickly, John Weeks, if you were to run a mile, how fast could you run a mile, you think?
Oh, my God. Are you serious? I don't think I've run a mile in like 15 years since high school, but I think my time for a mile was like, and that was probably like 3/4 running and a 1/4 of panting and walking. Probably 15 minutes. I think it's more like 17 minutes. To be honest with you.
Oh God!
No good.
If you're really like out of shape, that's a great number. I remember now that you bring that up. I remember when we were in high school. I was going to an art school, ECA, every afternoon, and anyone who went to ECA. We, up until our senior year, we used to could be able to count our sport as a gym credit. So we used to be able to count tennis as a gym credit, you know. But then, then senior year, the rules changed, and we actually had to go through some sort of physical education class. So I remember that since I was an athlete, I passed all the physical stuff, and then I remember Julia Miller up there, who was always kind of my my female counterpart, and also very I always found her very intimidating. I still do. She makes me very uncomfortable. she did everything better than I did in life. You know, grades, acting. I mean, everything. She was better at everything. And then finally. She failed her like her mile and her sit-ups and all that stuff. And I didn't get any joy out of it, but it, you know, I just knew I was better at her than something. Yeah, I think she lives too far from me in Brooklyn, and she has like a baby or two now.
Is that good? I'm happy she failed her. Mile. Let me ask you, what can you do your mile in nowadays? I gave you stats
what?
From 15 years ago, so.
Oh, yeah. well, I can give you a stat from tonight, and it was 8 minutes and 5 seconds tonight.
Oh, my goodness. What the hell? Are you running a marathon over there? What is going on?
No, but here's the thing. So one of these guys that I know from AA, much like our friend Vinny B, shout out to Vinny B, this guy Frank, he when I complained at the meeting one time that I was physically not where I wanted to be, he offered, he was like, you know, if you're serious about this, I'll help you out and I can get you to where you need to go.
Wow.
But you just need to be serious about it. So he offered to help and wound up doing 3 free sessions, which is very nice of him. And I appreciate that greatly. And then, and then after that, he gave me like a discounted rate for, the remainder of sessions that we do. So what I've been doing is every Saturday morning that I'm not in England or Ireland, I've been going to the East River Park, which has a track over there, and I've been training with Frank, and he's been having me run, 2 miles each time and other exercises in between the miles. Started out I don't know if it, I forget where it started out, but it was definitely not in 8 minutes. And what was it on? What was it? I think it was.
What was it?
Nine. It was 9 minutes flat. On this past no two Saturdays ago or something, and then last Saturday, I'm forgetting the number, but. It was 8:12. It was 8:12 on Saturday, and then today it was 8:05. It takes a lot of work other than just meeting Frank. Like, I've been, you know, going to the gym and all that stuff. So, but it's great to have. We call it a fitness sponsor, you know, which we kind of made up. But that goes with the whole AA theme of having a sponsor. And it's been great. This guy, he has like some world records in running, and he never made it to the Olympics. You know, he never made it to the Olympics because of issues with addiction and stuff. But he's, you know, sober now, and it's wonderful. And I say this because it was on Channel 5 in New York, and so it's public knowledge. But yeah, man. So that's what I've been doing. So thanks. Big ups to Frank Shiro there.
That's excellent news, man. I mean, you know, that you're working out, you're getting fit, you're getting healthy, doing positive things. You know, you met this young lad, and he got this fitness guru, and that's awesome. And you know, I did see some of your pictures. Like, I saw some of your recent pictures with, I think this fellow. I think you look like it's behind a. Like a racetrack or something like that, and then there's your photo with your boy Brendan, and yeah, you look like you really lost weight, man. You look like totally in shape, and you look good. And kudos to you, man. I mean, that's excellent. Doing big things,
thank
man.
You.
That's very good. Your health is number one, so that's excellent
thank
news.
You. Still, long no. way to go, but
thank
but
you.
I appreciate it. Speaking of looking good, do you know what time it is?
Oh my God! It's the Hot Mess Award.
Hot Mess Award.
He's a mess.
Oh,
he's a mess.
So
Tom
are we?
Fogarty,
what's
going on, man?
Tom Fogarty,
what's going on?
I'm busier than a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs.
Wow, what do you got going on?
Well, we got a benefit reading for the families of Alton Sterling and Philando Castile going on this Saturday evening of a play by an ensemble studio theater member from L.A. It's being done at several spots around the country. She's been giving it up. She wrote it for Michael Brown and the Ferguson situation, and ever since then, whenever something happens, people use it to make money for the family defense funds of the young people tragically shot down. So she reached out to me, and I said, sure, we would do it, and been casting it like a mofo, and I think we're pretty well set. There'll be a talk back that will have a former correspondent from the New York Times will be moderating, so it's turned into quite a little to do. And then out of the blue, I get asked last night if I'm available tomorrow night to shoot a webisode, and so all of a sudden I'm learning 12 pages of dialogue and stepping in for OB and Broadway Award winner Andrew Garman, because he's too damn busy since he blew up from the Christians last year. So, yeah.
Doing big things then. And where and when, you said that the reading will be this, the fundraiser will be this Saturday?
The reading will be Saturday night at 7 o'clock at Judson Church, the Assembly Hall. The entrance is on, it's 239 Thompson Street, just off of Washington Square Park. You know, it is free, but as I said, we'll be taking donations, and that money will go to the GoFundMe pages that have been set up both for Alton Sterling's family and Philando Castile. So we're doing our part and trying to make sure that the conversation gets had instead of just, you know, sweeping it under the table. So, yeah.
Well, that's great.
Congratulations,
that man. And can people just show up, or is it an RSVP thing?
No, absolutely. Just show up. We hope to fill the space. It would be nice. It is a very ugly and nasty piece, but as is our times, it needs to be done. So we're delighted to be letting it out of the bag, as it were.
Ooh. By the way, I assume it's in the same room that I saw the play with Lulu and Steve-O in it.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know. I've been meaning to bring this up with you for a long time now. I don't know why you didn't tell me to switch my seat so that I could get a full frontal view of Steve-O, because all I saw was the butt, and who cares?
Oh, it was a nice butt.
Yeah, but I only saw butt and grundle.
I think there were only two seats, because he was very quick from dropping trowel and sliding onto that bed. I think there may have been only two seats out of the 70 that were set up that had a peaky chew of that. So,
Pikachu!
Don't feel bad.
It should have been reserved for Ryan, for obvious reasons.
Well.
Anyway, well. But quite a disturbing production that was as well.
Yeah. I try to shake things up.
That's the way to do it. That's always the way to do it. So who have you got for us?
Like a little pedophilia to lighten the evening.
Oh, well, we were talking about that earlier, because the weatherman from Channel 8 in New Haven got arrested in Hamden for child porn today.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you, there's a real interesting, I don't know if you happened to catch this, and I'm trying to remember what damn channel. I think it was a Frontline that they may have rerun this week, but it's an hour-long episode called Pervert Park, and it's about a community of trailer homes down in Florida where sex offenders have to check into and live. And basically there the rest of their lives, and others, like, you know, sort of wean themselves out and can get away. But the entrapment that goes on, that the majority of these people end up having their lives ruined over, while, you know, the ones that, like, just do it willy-nilly with the family and never get caught, it's pretty disgusting.
Yeah.
It's pretty disgusting, and just what a slippery slope it can be. So it certainly, you know, opened my eyes and sort of changed my attitude a little. I'm going to have to rethink some of my previously held tenets, you know, because I've always known it was a slippery slope, but you forget just the machine that is out there to keep people incarcerated, and therefore they'll make shit up to make sure that the cells are full. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so it gets to be pretty ugly.
Well, I forgot to mention 2 weeks before that, the first thought I had when it said weatherman arrested in Hamden, Connecticut, I was like, oh, my God, how could Dr. Mel do this? Then I realized Dr. Mel passed away like 20 years ago.
Dr. Mel.
R.I.P. Who
was he your first?
R.I.P.
Mess Award, sire?
Okay,
yeah.
Well, my first, and I meant to look this up because they never said what the name of the restaurant was. Apparently, there's a little place in Cape Cod that is causing quite the to-do right now, because they arrested a sand sculpture of a mermaid outside the restaurant. But what has patrons all in a tizzy is that she would be sort of like human life size in terms of the figure, but her breasts are like the size of watermelons that are covered with just little like seashells. And it's a whole sand sculpture. And some of the town folk are all up in arms thinking that it's highly inappropriate for the young people that may be dining with their families at this establishment.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That is not a real problem.
Yeah. Little clamshell bikini bra top.
That sounds like something that would happen in Florida, not Cape Cod.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And who is your second hot mess, Sire?
My second hot mess, and this is sort of in a good way. I've never really been a Jennifer Aniston fan, but I got to say,
ooh,
I took my hat off to her the way that she pushed back at the press today and some of the stuff that she came out with in this little essay that's being published around. You know, because it's like, as she said, if I have a couple slices of pizza and my picture is taken at an angle, you know, I might have a little pooch, and so therefore she's been pregnant now basically for the last 6 years, right? In terms of the press and shit. And she's like saying, you know, I may never have a kid, and if that's the case, what's wrong with that? What is with this obsession of, like, you're not a complete woman unless you've had a child?
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I had to like take my hat off to her on that one for throwing back in that way. You know,
good for her.
Yeah, it's like, fuck it. Whose business is it anyway? But like she said, I've been pregnant now for 5 years, according to the tabloids.
Well, she's great in Horrible Bosses 2 with her, and 1 with her sex addiction that you see is hilarious. And who is your, or what is your third hot mess, Sire?
My third hot mess, I'm sure you saw this, the Twitter war that Calvin Harris started today.
No.
You don't know about this? I thought sure you know all about it, Ryan.
No.
Apparently, people online posted a little thing that came from Taylor Swift's camp about the song that
Riri
has out now that supposedly he and Riri wrote, but yet she said, no, actually, he, Riri, and I wrote it, and she claims to have written the lyrics totally. And as he then came out and said, well, you know, she's the one that wanted to keep that a secret. She didn't want her name attached to it, so there's a pseudonym, the whole thing. And then the way it's framed in this article, it's like dumping on him. So he just sort of went off on her and said, let me see, I got this quote here. Yes, she sings on it too. Amazing lyric writer. And she smashed it, as usual. I wrote the music, produced the song, arranged it, cut the vocals, though. And initially, she wanted it kept a secret. It's hurtful to me at this point that her and her team would go so far out of their way to make me look bad at this stage. Though, I figure if you're happy in your new relationship, you should focus on that instead of trying to tear your ex-boyfriend down for something to do. I realize you're off the road right now and need someone to bury like Katie, but I ain't playing it.
And Calvin Harris said that?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys, they need to know, you know, you can't get in a relationship with Taylor Swift without it backfiring. It happens every single time. And so who's Tom Hiddleston now or whatever, which I don't understand why the hell she's with him to begin with. But he's, you know, he's going to wind up having to really be Loki in real life with Taylor. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I don't know why she just doesn't write the song that really it's all about. I mean, apparently she seems to only go with, you know, guys with foot-long dicks. So she just needs to write the foot-long song and be done with it.
You got that right, Tommy boy. All right, you guys lubed up and ready to joke off?
I'm juicy and greasy.
Ooh, juicy and greasy. All right, let's open it up. We'll need some. I have yet to upload the clip, so let's. 3, 1, 2, 3. So, I will get it started. If you need any more proof that the apocalypse is nigh, Donald Trump is the Republican nominee for president and the Independence Day aliens are back.
Yeah. Yep.
The new Ghostbusters movie is facing criticism for being so different from the original. The major difference?
Tits. I can't wait for this. I love me some Leslie Jones.
Yeah. Yeah. I love
God, I love her.
Yeah.
Moving right along?
Yes, sir.
Okay, UK Prime Minister David Cameron said that the famed Larry the Cat will be staying at 10 Downing Street after Cameron resigns. Guess Larry wasn't the only pussy up in there.
Ooh. Ooh.
Ooh. That kitty be Brexit.
A Baltimore man this week opened fire, wounding 5 people at a candlelight vigil for a shooting victim. Only in America, where our shootings have shootings.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cray cray.
Jeb Bush this week said Donald Trump has created an alternate universe by promising things like a wall blocking Mexicans from entering the United States and putting a ban on Muslim travel. Oh, yeah, and the universe where Trump gets the presidential nomination and, of course, doesn't.
Yep. Yep. Speaking of pussies.
What planet are we on? Nothing.
Yeah. Bush. Oh, Lord. Tony Perkins, I loved him as an actor. The Family Research Council president offered up a measure this week to add conversion therapy to the Republican Party's platform. Perkins later explained he didn't mean conversion of gays, but conversion of Trump supporters back into decent human beings. Yo, convert this.
Oh, wiki wiki.
A Fontana, California chihuahua named Jack Sparrow is now recovering after. Let me take it back. A Fontana, California chihuahua named Jack Sparrow is now recovering after eating meth. Sparrow said he took the drug because he was depressed Donald Trump would no longer let him Quiero Taco Bell.
Yo, Quiero Taco Bell. You know, I have a battery-operated one of those little dogs from back in the day.
Oh,
and
yeah?
You see his little belly, and he goes, Yo, Quiero Taco Bell.
And then is he like, this is the tale!
No.
Oh, he's not joking for Bolton, then.
He says all the little shits. He says all that stuff.
Oh, remember, Sire, remember when you had that Taco Bell in the car and then you had the diarrhea almost in your pants?
Yeah.
Oh!
Yeah. How could I forget that?
Not even in a department store.
A department store.
Oh!
That's where you needed to go, department store.
Yep.
Florida news anchor Bobby Deskins walked right through his colleague's weather forecast while trying to catch Pokemon. And this is why Donald Trump may be president.
Oh, my God.
Just gotta catch them all.
Oh, my God. Kim Kardashian this week tried to explain to a friend's toddler why she's famous. She said, "Well, Moesha's brother stuck his big black cock in my mouth and my pussy and fucked the shit out of me, and we recorded it. And I lived happily ever after."
Shoppers in Yates, New York used baseball bats in a huge Walmart brawl. When questioned, the manager of that Walmart said, "I mean, they know we sell guns, right?"
Oh, man, I didn't even see this one. Oh, good, it's you. But I didn't even see this.
It's a team effort.
I know, but you got to let me know, because I don't be reading weak jokes.
Okay.
I don't even know. I don't even know the damn song now. You got me all upset.
It's okay. It's okay, because Weeks knows the song, or you can just sing whatever you want.
I mean, I know it.
Okay, good.
I know it. I remember that line about cops and queers and good-looking models and there's lots of pretty ones and we're all in the dope show.
Whoa.
I don't know.
You remember so much more.
The tune's not coming to me. I know the words.
You remember pretty well.
Yeah,
I know the words, but the tune ain't coming to me, son.
The tune ain't coming to me, son.
We'll leave you low and blow your mind.
Leave you low and blow your mind.
Spotify this week came out with a list of the 50 most popular first dance songs. Once again, not making the list, Dope Show by Marilyn Manson.
We're all stars out in the dope show. We're all stars out in the dope
in
show.
The dope show. In the dope
in
show.
The dope show.
In the dope show. You can find your friends in the dope show. In the dope show. Sounds like a Village People song.
We're all stars out in the dope show.
We eat Carvel in the dope show.
In the dope show.
Fogarty, your Marilyn Manson sounds a little like Bill Cosby. In the dope show.
In the dope show with the pudding and the stuff.
We're all stars out in the dope show.
Oh, according to the GOP platform.
Oh.
According to the GOP platform, guns are less dangerous than porn. Yeah, but when I shoot, you don't know what's in my pokey jizz. You just don't know.
Speaking of pokey jizz, Pokemon Go players this week reported seeing Pokemon at Washington, D.C.'s Holocaust Memorial Museum, where Gotta Catch 'Em All took on a very different meaning.
Oh, shit. Oh, that's fucked.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
That is fucked up. Oh my God. Okay. Amanda Nunez, the UFC's first openly gay champion. UFC? I didn't realize any of them wasn't gay.
You got that right, Tommy boy.
That's right. I thought it was the KFC originally.
Yeah.
She'd be the Chris one, right?
Ooh. I don't know. Uh-huh.
She'd be Chrissy.
After a horrifying string of hate crimes against black people and gay people, Brazil must now resist a rising wave of violence and intolerance. They need only look to the great United States of... Never mind.
Yeah. Man, so yeah, so Brazil be like mistreating they blacks and they gays. They got mosquitoes that'll give you babies like peanut heads. They got pookie in the water. I can't think of a reason anyone would want to go to Brazil.
I agree with that.
The hot women.
You got that one by Tommy Boy. Women, yeah.
But the hot Brazilian ladies, though. And Somalia.
Like I said, I can't think of any reason why anybody would want to go to Brazil.
You're going to get that stick up my hand.
Well, you know what? It's weird because there's a mosquito flying around my room right now, and I'm, like, very scared of it. And I was like, I don't like mosquitoes. There's a mosquito. I don't like them.
Kill that
I do not like mosquitoes. I don't like mosquitoes.
You better kill that son of a bitch.
You just don't be having babies. They're going to have peanut heads.
I know. Does it affect? It doesn't. And finish us off, Weeks. Let us get our pokey jizz out.
All righty. Even though John Madden is 80 years old, he is reportedly heavily involved in the creation of each Madden video game, when approached as to how he contributes, Madden said, "The road, easy street, is goes through the sewer. Don't worry about the horse being blind. Just load the wagon. The fewer rules the coach has, the fewer rules there are for the players to break. When your arm gets hit, the ball is not going to go where you want it to. When you're running straight, you're going to score. When you catch the ball, you're probably going to win. When you grip, you're probably going to lose, unless it's in the end zone. And when you make sure it's your end zone, you're probably going to score.
And when you score, you're going to get the third leg of the turkey."
In the dope show.
In
we're
the dope show.
We're all stars in the dope show.
We're all fears and cops in the dope show.
In the dope show, bro.
Right. Tom Fogarty, break a leg with all your upcoming endeavors. And
yeah, thank you.
Congratulations, sir. Congratulations.
Thank you. And if you should find yourself free on Saturday evening, come down and join us.
You got
yes,
that one right,
yes.
Tommy boy.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Get your,
right,
your politic on.
Get your dope show on, bro.
Yep.
Yeah, man.
Okay, thanks, Boo Boo, and Boo Boo Chai.
Good night. Don't get captured.
Get out with me,
mate. Yeah. So.
All right,
we're all stars now.
I thought you were just gonna sing "Dope Show" the rest of the night.
It's one of my favorite songs.
Yeah. Well. Okay. So. So I asked if we could do this show this week because we don't usually do 2 weeks in a row, but because I wanted to make sure I told you about England and Ireland while it's fresh. And look at us, we we're at 9:58 p.m. Can you can you go? Can we go a little longer? Is that all right with you?
Yeah. Let's go a little longer. I want to hear the story. I think we're having a great show. I think we should go. You know, as long as we can. I want to hear the story of Rymaine. Rymaine, you get it? Rymaine, you were remain in Britain? Yeah, it was terrible. That was terrible. But,
I want to hear Rymaine
and then Brexit. I want to hear the story of Brexit.
Here's the thing. You're not going to get much out of me about Brexit because even though I was in the United Kingdom when it happened, even though I was there when it happened, everyone that I was with was so focused on themselves because it was a wedding that nobody was really talking about it until the wedding reception, and then that's when Mac was actually the first person to bring it up. But since we didn't get to it last week, I as we were saying, I just got back from this trip from Northern Ireland and then London after that. I'll just take you through what happened. So, you ever flown United Airlines, John Lee?
Oh, yeah. I'm a big United Airlines Mileage Plus member, yes. Yeah.
Well, then you're fucked.
I know. It's no good.
No, it's terrible. But for an international flight, the last time I traveled internationally was 11 years ago, we always, through Syracuse, we always flew Virgin Atlantic, which was very, very nice, very fancy.
Right.
And then United, I stepped on that plane. I was like, you know, 10 years ago, 11 years ago, flying Virgin was so much nicer than present day flying United, which is inexcusable. And then I get in my seat and the headphone jack thing doesn't work. I can't participate in the on-flight entertainment with the TVs in front of you or whatever because the headphone jack doesn't stay in. It keeps coming out. So I tell the flight attendant, I was like, you know, this thing's not working. Is there any way to fix it? And she said, no, I mean, I can give you our headphones, and I mean, that's the only thing I can think of. And she was, like, rude about it, and then she gave me a set of – there was a kid to my left who gave me his set of headphones, which was very nice. And I tried it, and it was the same situation because it wasn't my headphones problem. It was the fucking jack we kept on. It was too loose. So thankfully, I had downloaded some movies on my Amazon Prime, you know, they let you download the movies on there if you want. Thankfully I had done that. And I think I downloaded something on the Xfinity app and I was, you know, I had enough stuff to tie me over. Plus it was an overnight flight. So slept anyway, but that was like a hiccup there because of United and
that's bad.
But overall flying United internationally was not bad. I think domestically they're way worse than they are internationally. So then we get to this town in Northern Ireland, Glenarm. Actually, first we were greeted by a leprechaun at the airport. Like a guy was dressed as a leprechaun and he was handing out Guinness and all this fucking. Yeah, he was dressed as a leprechaun. It was very strange. And I guess some other guy, like a family member, hired the guy, it was odd and kind of I thought it was kind of offensive to Irish people, but I don't know.
Yeah, that sounds very offensive. Where'd you go, America?
No, we flew into Belfast. It was still undetermined where I was staying, because first I was thinking that I was staying with Max, but then he wasn't. This is our friend Max McAllister. He wasn't in town until later in the week anyway. So then Joanna said I could stay with her. That's my friend from high school. So the people getting married, so that people know, is the girl that I liked in high school's mother is marrying one of my best friend's uncles. So, you know, do the math
on that.
Very
strange.
But,
such a coincidence, yeah.
Well, it's not a coincidence. That's the way that I know him is through them.
I didn't know that.
So then I'm supposed to stay with Joanna, but then she says, oh, maybe you should stay with Bernie, this 90-year-old woman, because Joanna is staying with her in-laws and all this stuff. So then we get there and we meet up with Bernie, and I'm allegedly supposed to stay with Bernie, and then Bernie asks if I am from Ireland, and then I tell her no, I'm from Brooklyn, and stuff. And maybe about 5 minutes pass, and Bernie asks if I'm from Ireland, and then and then maybe another 5 minutes pass, and Bernie says, "Are you from Ireland then?" So it became clear that Bernie would have probably thought I was an intruder in her house because she was forgetting who I was every 5 minutes. So I did not stay with Bernie, but I wound up staying with Joanna's brother and his girlfriend and her friend and her boyfriend and then the girlfriend's mother and her friend. So I wound up staying in a living room. So I was in, you know, a living room. So keep that in mind. So I couldn't jack off at all, right? And I'm thinking, and so I'm getting on, like, Grindr in Ireland, and everything is all, like, all the guys around are so far away, and they're very discreet, or they're not out, or whatever. They won't show their faces, and it's very,
right.
you know, as fucked up as America is sometimes,
right.
With, like, religion and stuff like that, it is so much more fucked up in Northern Ireland. Like, the, they paint stripes on the sheep to tell whether the sheep are Protestant or Catholic. So farmers will paint a
what?
Red stripe or a blue stripe on their fucking sheep. That's how fucked
on
up
the
they
sheep?
Are with religion
on
a
the
sheep.
On
yeah.
A sheep?
So that the sheep knows what religion it is.
Oh my, are you, oh my God. That's like ridiculous. That's like Ted Cruz. That's like the land of Ted Cruz.
And then, so then we go to, the day that we first get there, we go to the Titanic Museum, and the Titanic was constructed and launched in Belfast. So, so that,
I didn't know.
Yeah, I didn't know it either. So we did that, and,
Leonardo DiCaprio there?
There was definitely like images of him around and Kate Winslet and stuff. So, but he wasn't
okay.
there personally, no. And Joanna and I got on this like ride that takes you through a factory, of like where they built the Titanic. And
that's
I
cool.
was, well, it would have been cool, except it was super boring because nothing happened. So I was thinking like, I wanted it to be more like the Pirates of the Caribbean ride where like pirates come out and scare you or something, or just, you know, it gets really cold and ice what do you call those things, what sank the Titanic?
Iceberg or glacier?
Iceberg. Or I wish that the iceberg came and, you know, it added a little drama to the ride, so it wasn't
oh
very
you
fun
wanted
ride.
A little action there, huh?
Yeah, I wanted some action. It was boring. We just, you know, just sat on a thing and went through a factory. It was ridiculous. Then, and I went on a couple runs in Ireland. I went running because Frank, you know, he gave me a program to do, and so I was stuck to the program,
oh,
and I went.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and I wound up running along the Irish coast in the rain. It was beautiful. Then the day after the Titanic Museum, we went on the Game of Thrones tour. Do you watch Game of Thrones?
I do a little bit, yes, I do.
Okay, I've never seen it. Or I turned it off for 5 minutes once and was like, this, I cannot. So I turned it off. But we went on the Game of Thrones tour, and the scenery was amazing, and it made me kind of want to try watching again.
Yeah.
But there was an actor from Game of Thrones on the tour with us, plays a small role, I guess, of a wildling on Game of Thrones. And he either saved Jon Snow from a tent or he held a knife to Jon Snow's. I don't know what he did exactly, but so his name is Andrew Thompson, the actor. So that's I got him to participate in the video insulting John Weeks. And the first thing that he said, was no wildling would ever kneel before that scumbag John Weeks. And then he was like, he wanted to think of another one. And he turned to me and he's like, see, I don't know if I can say the C word or not. It's hard to pull off the C word. And I said, oh, no, you can definitely say it. And so then we record another one where he goes, some people tell me John Weeks is a nice guy. Some cunts. And you got a kick out of that, right?
Thank you. That was
yeah.
phenomenal. Thank you.
Yeah, that was good.
That's an honor. Seriously.
Yeah, man. How about that scenery? That beautiful.
Beautiful
scenery. Yeah, with the water and
that's
shit.
That's one of my favorites because it's an epic John Weeks shout out. I love it.
Right, and it's right outside the cave where Lady Melisandre gave birth to a demon baby or something on Game of Thrones.
Oh my goodness. You know,
yeah.
I'm telling you, people would love this. I'm telling this is amazing.
Yeah, agreed. And then, okay, so then the the day after the Game of Thrones tour was the day of the wedding reception. So this was, the wedding was in New York on a boat, and then the wedding reception was in Northern Ireland. So it was quite a commute from one place to the other.
Oh, yeah.
Usually you only have to go maybe a half hour or so out of the way. But the wedding reception was fun and also terrible for a couple reasons. So that was the first time I saw Mac. So, you know, we gave each other a big hug, and we took some pictures. His mother was like, oh, get over it. And he was taking pictures, like all the family was taking pictures. And then she asked me to get in a picture with him. So I thought that was nice that I was included in like the family pictures.
Nice.
Yeah. And, I see his sister, Sam, and I go to hug her, and she's like, no, I can't, I'm so sweaty, and she wouldn't hug me, and I felt very rejected. So that was strange. Yeah, that was odd. And then the reason I say terrible was everything was great, except there was a DJ or something that did these very awkward games or exercise. So one thing was, there was like a group of professional Irish female dancers that got up there, and they did like Michael Flatley, Lord of the Dance type stuff. And they were, you know, very good. And then they asked like a bunch of guys to get behind them. So as they're asking volunteers, male volunteers from the crowd, I see the groom, Jared, go over to his nephew, Charlie, and ask and tell him to get on the dance floor. So I'm running away from Jared, but at the same time I'm running away from trying not to volunteer, I'm running towards, I'm running across basically the dance floor where I'm running right into the line of fire. So then everyone's like,
not a good move.
Get in there.
Not a good move.
No, it's terrible. So they're like, Ryan, get in there. So then I got in there, and the interesting thing about it, as we're, you know, they dance and then we dance and we're making fools out of ourselves, like complete fools. The interesting thing about it is I was holding, we were all holding hands, and I was holding hands with the guy that Joanna chose over me in high school that she's now married to. And for the purposes of this story, I'm going to call him Kyle rather than his real name. So I'm holding hands with Kyle and, like, you know, doing this dance. And then there's another thing later on where we do this other thing that we volunteer for. Oh, my God. And this was so much worse. This was so much more awkward because, all right, again, we're at, get in a circle and hold hands. So that wasn't the awkward part. But we were outside. The men were outside facing the inside, and then the girls were inside facing the outside. And it was like musical chairs, but with people. And whoever you stopped in front of, you had to do the next slow dance with. So I stopped in front of, speaking of Justin Goldstein, I stopped in front of some 14-year-old girl, right? And
my goodness. Oh, awkward.
It was as awkward as it would be in America. It was so fucking much more awkward over there because so I'm like, okay, I take her hand and we're dancing and, you know, very, very awkwardly dancing. And then at some point she turns to me and says, my dad's over there. And I look over to the doorway and I said, what? And she said, my dad's over there. And I look and I see this massive guy. He's like 9 feet tall, 600 pounds. And clearly she was like trying to threaten me or something. She was like,
scary that she said that.
Yeah, like why the fuck else would she say that? So at some point we just awkwardly broke off, and then I wound up in a dancing circle with two other guys who also broke off from their girls, I guess, because of the awkwardness. And then this other guy whose hair was like greased lightning, he had to dance with this girl, Erica, an American girl, Erica, and he turns to Erica and says, my girlfriend's going to kill me if she sees this. And his girlfriend is, like, shooting daggers at the guy. And so he has to break off. And they are so conservative. Like, it is ridiculous. So then, like, Erica – I've been joking with Erica ever since that, like, you know, you You better watch out. You better not. Your friends are on. She friends you on Facebook. You better ignore her request or whatever. It's very, very, very awkward. So I go to Joanna between the thing. I'm with Joanna like near the bar, and I say, if you told me that I would be holding hands with Matt, freshman year of high school or sophomore year of high school. Doing this shit, I would have thought you were crazy. And Joanna was like, wow, that's really weird. And I said, so weird. And so I thought it was kind of a nice, like, peace offering thing and a nice kind of thing. And, well, shit, I said his real name, but let's go back to calling him Kyle again. So
Kyle.
Kyle. So I said, you know, if you told me I'd be shaking, holding hands with Kyle, and she agreed that it was super weird. And so then I figured, you know, Matt, Kyle and I are finally getting along and stuff, and you know, there's no kind of negative energy between us. But then I'm standing with Joanna's brother, Steve, near the bar, and Kyle comes over to Steve, and he says something. He asks some question, and Steve goes, I don't know. And then Kyle goes, they're drinking like faggots.
Whoa.
Yep.
Really?
And then I like put out my arms like, what the hell? And Steve like points to me, and Kyle says, I think he said no pun intended, but he meant no offense, obviously.
Okay.
And that like ruined it. That ruined my whole thing of the whole peace offering and everything, you know what I mean? So it was just like,
right.
I don't know,
that's
I live in New York. We don't do that shit to each other these days. You know what I mean? It's so far. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Nobody really uses that term anymore. I mean, that's pretty ridiculous. And you know, that's a little. Did he know you were there? I mean, did he do that intentionally?
No, I don't think so. I don't think he saw me standing there.
Okay, all right. Well, I mean, it sounds like an extremely careless and offensive remark, and it sounds ridiculous, especially if they're supposed to be, you know, he's not from there, right? So he's
no.
That's bad, you know, it's such a conservative setting. I mean, that's even worse. I mean, I think that's pretty bad. At least you stood up for yourself, and you said, you know, at least you made a, you know, you commented on it, and he kind of backtracked a little bit, but still, it's bad.
Yeah, it was bad. And then looking back on it, I guess I shouldn't be surprised because the other guy that Joanna was interested in back in the day in the Bronx, I remember we were at a block party, and it was a very Italian neighborhood in the Bronx, and this kid, his name was Phil, but they called him Bunny because he looked like a rabbit. Phil comes up to me, and he's like, yo, do you agree with me? And I said, what are you talking about? And he said, you agree that someone shouldn't be here? And I said, I don't know what you're talking about. And then he pointed to the one black person there who was riding a bike at the block party. Yeah, and it took me forever to convince Joanna that he was a racist, where he was blatantly fucking racist. So it really shouldn't surprise me, given her taste in men.
Right.
Still,
right.
Hope she doesn't listen to this podcast, because we're still good friends for now. But I'm not the one who did anything wrong, so fuck that noise. Anyway,
of course.
So that kind of ruined that. But the moving on to happier things, the cool part, I thought the coolest part about the wedding reception was that all the Americans were basically hanging out over by the window, and then all the Irish people were over hanging out by the bar, obviously. And I was the only person, the only American, really, who was mingling with the Irish folks, and who, like, at the end of the night, you had all the Americans just waiting in one room, basically, and I was hanging out with Mac and Charlie and all them, and I was, you know, sitting with them. So when the driver came, Ambrose, came to get us, by the way, the driver is also an undertaker, so he not only drives cars, but he is also an undertaker, not the undertaker.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and so Ambrose like comes and yells something to me, And it's in an Irish accent that I don't know what the hell he says, but everyone laughs. But he's like, he has to get me out of the other room, you know, to get on the bus with the Yanks, which I thought that was, I felt so cool in that moment that I was the only one who was able to actually kind of, you know, penetrate that wall, you know, and just like seamlessly kind of blend in with the Irish folks, you know? So that was great. Then after that, we go to so the reception was great, aside from that one remark from Kyle. And then the next day, I get a ride to Belfast to later meet up with Mac and up seeing the Secret Life of Pets with Mac and his sister and this girl Orla. And I tell you, I cannot tolerate animation, and the movie was a piece of shit, and I hate animation. I can't tolerate it. I wish I could. I can't tolerate it. I can't watch all this good stuff, like Family Guy, Simpsons, whatever. I cannot watch it. I can't tolerate it. So that was, you know, I only would sit through that for a special person, so I hope Mac appreciates that. So did that, and then brought my luggage and stuff home and stayed at his mom's house for the next couple days. And there, you know, we went around Belfast, and then we we walked around Belfast, went shopping and shit like that, and it was cool. It's a city, so it was different from where we were, like in Glenarm and stuff. And one thing I thought was a bit odd was that when we left, like Max thanked his mom and thanked his stepfather for. He was like, thanks for letting us stay or whatever. And I'm just thinking in my head, like, I would never, like, thank my mom in New Haven for letting me stay at home. You know what I mean? Like, that's his home. So I thought that was odd, you know?
Yeah, that is odd. It is a little much. Yeah.
Yeah. So then we watched we started watching Going the Distance, which is our movie with Drew Barrymore and Justin Long. It's the whole story behind that I won't get into. Finished it the next night, and it was great. And we watched Horrible Bosses 2. It was great. And then from Belfast, we were only in Belfast for a couple of days, then flew over to London. And So I was so horny from being in Ireland where I really didn't, you know, I couldn't jack off anywhere. I was, you know, on Grindr, and Mac was mentioning how much I was on it. And I was like, I was thinking, all right, I just need to find somebody to fuck so that I can stop focusing on this and spend time with my friends. So I wind up finding a Gaysian in another section of London. I was like, do you bottom? And he said, yes. And then I was like, do you want me to come over? And he said, yes, that's okay. So then I take an Uber over there, which was probably like $40, like 20-something pounds. You know, was able to accomplish the mission. So, and then after that, I went back to Max and did laundry. So the first thing, what was the first things you did in London? I fucked this gaze in and then did laundry. So I had to do that in order to focus because, you know, my mental energy was spent being so horny and physical energy.
Right.
So I was finally, you know, that was gone, thankfully. So I banged, we did laundry, and then we went to, like, Mac took me around to places. We went to Camden Town, where I wanted to get a record. I've been like collecting records from wherever I go, and I got one in Belfast,
nice.
And then I got this one in London, where we accidentally went into a punk record store. And so the guy was like, "What are you looking for?" And I said, "Do you have anything by Panic at the Disco?" And they were like, "He said, are they punk?" And I said, "I kind of." And he goes, kind of, well, that's the thing, I mean, isn't it? Because a lot of people could be kind of punk, but then, like, you know, I mean, let me look him up. And then he's like, really, like, very kind of, you know, invasive and just saying, and then he's like, oh, yeah, well, I mean, they're listed as pop rock, so they shot themselves in the foot right there, didn't they? And then I finally pick a record, and I think it's by the Jerks, and it's called Jerk It Off or Jerk It Out or something. And I go to pay for it, and he's like, oh, great choice. Have you heard this? And he shows me another record. He's like, do you want a blast? Do you want a blast? Let's blast. And then he plays this other record, and the song, I Shit You Not, goes, I saw Batman in the laundrette. 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 And I was, like, seriously considering buying that album, but I wound up not buying it. But that was, you know, that was what I was dealing with, was that guy. Was, I mean, obviously, we just didn't know it was a punk record store. So the guy, you know, And then we went to the Millennium Bridge. We went to the Globe Theater where I used to study. So it was a nice little nostalgic, I guess. I mean, if I actually
right.
had emotions. Yeah, if I had emotions, then I would have felt nostalgic at the Globe. We went on the Millennium Bridge and it was raining and Mac didn't wear anything appropriate for the rain and I did. And then like he's talking about the rain and then this guy in a London miracle turns around and hands Mac an umbrella and says, I have a spare. And it was a beautiful thing because that kind of stuff, I've seen that stuff happen in Brooklyn a lot. But I've never seen that.
Right.
Like, I never saw anything like that happen in London where they very much keep to themselves, you know. So that was cool.
Wow.
London Miracle. And I think by the end of my trip, Mac and I, by that Thursday night before the Friday I left, wanted to murder each other. So it was, well, I guess that's, you know.
You guys
must
be good friends then because that's how it happens, yeah.
Yeah, and I guess that's what most marriages are like, too. And then we watched, the last night there, watched the new Paul Rudd movie on Netflix, The Fundamentals of Caring, which was very, very good. And Mac was reluctant to watch it since it looked like it might be sad, but it was a very good movie. And we enjoyed it. And then on the flight back on United, my headset thing was working and I decided to watch, they had all these movies, great selection of movies. I think they had Batman vs. Superman. I mean, not that it's a horrible movie, they had Deadpool. And I decided to finally watch The Danish Girl with Eddie Redmayne. And I am watching it, and, like, the scene, the nude scene where you kind of see his dick, and he's tucking his dick behind because he's trying to turn into a girl, that...
Right.
At that moment is when the flight attendant came by with the soda cart, and it was like, I was like, oh, shit. Oh, okay. And I was like, oh, what do I do here? Because it was very hard to pause on the street and stuff, but it didn't seem like anyone noticed. And then I got back to New York, and I really couldn't be bothered with any more public transportation at that point, so I wound up taking an Uber, which always makes me nauseous. I get nauseous in Ubers or cabs, but I took an Uber back
right.
to Brooklyn, and I realized that I was going to miss my next AA meeting on Friday, which was this past Friday. So this is two Fridays ago, and I'm thinking in my head, I have just enough time to drop off my luggage and get to that meeting. So even though I'm like mad
right.
jet lagged and whatever, I drop off my luggage, I go to the meeting, which is great. I needed it, and then I went home and did hood rat shit. And with that, I take a bow. Thank you.
Wow, sir, excellent.
Yeah.
So you have
we don't have much time, but what are your what are your reactions?
Yeah, definitely. First of all, you have a phenomenal memory to be able to conquer all that. And secondly, it sounds like you had a wonderful experience. You went to a wedding. Although something was very poorly was said, that's all right. That just one small thing. You had a great wedding, good time there, and you saw your buddy. You did a lot of things there with your buddy. You did a lot. You went jogging. You stayed committed to your jogging and health. You also had to get your mental in check there with the gaysian, and you also. had a good time in terms of just being out in a foreign land and enjoying the hell out of it and having a good time seeing a lot of different things. And then you came back. This is the most amazing thing about the trip. You came back and you went to the AA meeting. I mean, that's dedication.
You stayed dedicated. You explored. You were adventurous, and you did a whole bunch of different things and saw many different people. That's a complete and a hell of a trip. I mean, this sounds like a great trip. This is nothing like that wedding in Atlanta.
Are you intentionally doing John Madden right now?
No, I'm not. I'm not at all.
Well, yeah, it was the complete. You know what else I think was the opposite of the wedding in Atlanta? I think John and Walita's wedding was one of the best organized weddings and one of just the nicest, you know. I mean, there was a little drama with the photographers and the other photographers, but every wedding has that. But other than that, I thought it was just the best organized, you know, it was like the complete opposite of the shit show in Atlanta.
Yes. John Walita's wedding was simple but elegant and on point. There was no stress. Whereas Jesus' wedding, everything stressed you out. Everything.
Everything is horrible. By the way,
but, you know, I'm happy you had a great time there. But the one thing I did notice, you know, in your Facebook posts and whatnot, when you were over there, it seemed like you really enjoyed yourself over there. I mean, it seemed like you really liked it over there. So I don't know. It was like, I felt like you were not coming back. I felt you were there for a while.
No, man, because especially towards the end, I was like, get me the fuck back to New York, because I remembered the feeling I had about being in London when I lived there for a semester in 2003, which was just, yeah, I like it, but it makes me feel too distant from my life, and it makes me, and it makes me miss New York, because it's a lot like New York, except worse. You know, it's like New York, but worse. So, not that it's bad. It's a great place, but it's just, you know, New York is the best. It was a good time, but I definitely did want to come back. I mean, I didn't want to go back to work, but I did want to come back. What is your favorite scene in She's My Man with Man Bane?
Oh, definitely. My favorite scene is She's the Main Man for Jermaine Bane's main. Jermaine Bane plays a great number of characters in this movie, but she's great as Johnny Cage in this particular scene. So we've got a guy with things coming out of his hands. We got another guy who freezes stuff. And then there's a man who, as far as I can tell, is made out of electricity. I mean, how did he disappear like that? What is going on here? Who is this guy? Let's just think this through. There is a rational explanation for all of this. He's Raiden, God of Lightning and Protector of the Realm of Earth. Oh, yeah. There's your rational explanation. And that's my favorite scene, is she's the main with your main bane.
Yes. Brilliant. She was brilliant
Thank
in
you.
Mortal Kombat. Yes.
Thank you, sir. And what's your favorite scene
of Season Man Man Feature Man of Bane's Mane? My favorite scene of Season Man Man Feature Man of Bane's It's the Power of Love. Bane's Mane is from when Amanda Bane's was very good friends with Rip Torn's new wife, because the old one is long gone. And Amanda Bane played a 12-year-old boy named Jonathan Demar, and Amanda Bane, as Jonathan Demar, went to this play that Rip Torn's new wife directed, and then afterwards there was a cast party, an after party, and they were at a restaurant, and Rip Torn went around arm wrestling everyone, and he was beating everyone, but then it got to Amanda Bane, and Amanda Bane had the grip. And then Amanda Bane's beat him. And after that, Rip Torn goes, he says, somebody owes me a martini. And that's my favorite scene. She's my favorite scene. Amanda Bane's mine. Yes.
Phenomenal.
Yes.
I love it.
It was.
It gets better every time. It really does. It gets better every time.
I don't know what you mean. That's the first time I've done that in Main Event scene.
That's true. I'm sorry. That's true. But I thought I saw that scene. That was precious, right? That was precious.
Yes. It was precious based on the novel Sapphire by Push or something, or Push by Sapphire. Yeah. Her name's Sapphire, not Push. That'd be a weird name. I'm Push. Nice to meet you. I'm gonna name my kid Push. Push Holmes.
I like that actually. Push Holmes. Push Holmes.
Push Holmes. Push Holmes. Push Holmes. I can think of no better way of ending a show than by saying, if it ain't showbiz, it ain't a biz. Hit the brakes, Florence. Somebody owes me a martini. And if you have a Barbie doll, what are you going to do with that fucking bitch?
You're going to go get surgery to remove a rib just so that you can suck your own toes. And you're going to go sing a song that goes kind of like this. We're all stars now in the dope
show. In the dope show.
We're all stars now in the dope show.
In the dope show.
In the dope show.
I thought you were going to keep going. All right. Glad you didn't. Good night, Weeks. Good night, everybody.